Yo, what up? This is D Knight, and you're listening to the Pardon the Insurrection podcast. For God's sakes, man, this is the insanity. It has to stop, right? One would think like it can't continue at this pace for the entirety of there's an election in November. Of course, it's going to continue at this pace, and the insanity is not going to stop. Well, thank God. Luckily for you guys, you got me and the ladies over here at the Pardon the Insurrection podcast to help you maintain your sanity. But before we move on to some of the incest and insanity that occurred in the news over the course of the past couple of days, let's give a shout out to our sponsor, Sheets and Giggles. I suggest that if you, like me, are having a difficult time dealing with all of this nonsense and it's keeping you up at night, then you should get you a set of sheets from sheetsandgiggles.com to at least make yourself comfortable, since you're going to have to be laying in bed miserable with the thought of this stuff on your mind. At least if your mental health is suffering, your physical well-being can be slightly improved. Go ahead, check out sheetsandgiggles.com, pick you up a set. Oh, by the way, we got some links in the show notes. If you'd like to get a little Pardon the Insurrection discount, you're welcome. It's much deserved on your part for being loyal listeners. So, on to the most obvious of headlines. The leading Republican presidential candidate for the 2024 election lost in court Friday and received a judgment against him and his two sons for a whopping total of $364 million fucking dollars. Seems pretty fucking insane. Like, how did we get here? So, of course, as you're aware, the New York AG, Letitia James, brought a case against Trump and family and the Trump Organization that resulted in a trial that began last year, went on for, I don't know, somewhere around 11 or 12 weeks. The trial of which Trump's lawyer, Alina Haba, it seemed to forget to check the box on the form to request a jury. So instead, this trial resulted in a bench trial. And that is where the jury is foregone. And the only finder of fact in the matter is the judge on the bench, which in this case happened to be Judge Engoron. So Engoron oversaw the trial, heard all the facts, came to the conclusion that all of these documents and all of the testimony resulted in the fact that Trump and his kids and the organization engaged in persistent fraud, first and foremost, and a number of other various forms of fraud where they had intent to commit a crime, ranging from tax fraud, insurance fraud, bank fraud, on and all the frauds. All the frauds in the history of frauds apparently were committed by Trump and co. Over the course of the past few years. I think this, of course, makes Trump like the patron saint of frauds or fraud almighty, considering he has a cult of followers who seem to worship him no matter what. And of course, in this particular instance, Letitia James wasn't asking necessarily for damages, but disgorgement. And if you don't know what that is the forfeiting of all the gains that resulted from the fraudulent activity, money that the Trump Organization should not have been able to profit if they had not lied on their financial disclosure forms, and so on and so forth. So for Trump, that grand total came up to an amount of around $355 million. If you tack on $4 million each for both of the sons, you hit $364 million. That's not the end of it. So in this particular instance in New York, there's a statute that allows for the calculation of compounded interest over the course of the fraudulent activity to be tacked on to the disgorgement fees and added to the $364 million sum. It ends up with somewhere around $450 fucking million dollars. It's absolutely bananas. But if you've been listening to the podcast, you know, your boy told you it'd probably be closer to, you know, well, we were saying that James was asking for $370 million, but by the time we got done with it all, it'd probably be somewhere closer to $500 million. And what do you know? It's a little bit over $450 million. Whoop-de-doo. It's actually even worse than that, because if Trump wants to appeal the ruling, which he's likely going to lose if he does so, because the judge did not dissolve the entirety of his businesses. He actually took it rather easy on them, circumstances considered, by installing a financial, well, continuing to have the financial monitor oversee the business for the next 3 years at minimum, while removing Trump from any sort of decision making role inside the organization, as well as his two sons. They're all banned from being an officer of any business in New York over the course of the next 3 years. They're also barred from, I think, doing any business with any banks licensed to operate in New York. Now, I'm not entirely sure if that means banks that are headquartered in New York, or banks that have any sort of license to operate in New York, because there's a drastic difference between the two, meaning that, you know, if it's every bank with any sort of license in New York, Trump won't be able to do any business in America, because every single major bank in the United States, for God's sakes, has some sort of financial operation inside New York. It's fucking wild. Anyway, so Ngoren didn't order the dissolution of the Trump Org business certificates, which means the company won't have to sell off the entirety of its assets. It won't have to liquidate. But, you know, this fine is fucking massive. Supposedly, according to Trump, they have $400 million cash on hand. And obviously, they won't be able to draw from the entirety of that, because, you know, you've got all these other businesses. You have all these loans you have to satisfy. Like, you got to make these mortgage payments, homie. You can't just take all your cash and throw it out at this thing with the disgorgement fees that'll be due here. Also, like, if Trump wants to appeal, he is going to have to put up all of that money, the $400 million plus whatever interest may run over the course of the appeal. And he's going to either have to do that cash himself, or he's going to have to secure a bond. And like, after your business is just convicted of a long-standing fraudulent activity, no bonds company is going to like look at that as a reasonable risk to take when the sum of money involved is over $500 million. So regardless of whatever Trump's lawyer says about filing for an appeal, like, the odds of them following through on that are low to none. I mean, like, at this point, realistically, Trump's only chances here are the Saudis step in or something, or he manages to find a way to sell off all of those classified documents that he stole, which again would involve some other foreign country. And I don't think Deutsche Bank is doing business with this dude anymore. And like, I guess anything is possible. Like, I don't foresee the possibility that they step in and try and rescue this dude after he's done them dirty a number of times. Like, don't let these clowns fool you when they're like, you know, there was no victim here. Like, all the banks got their money back. First of all, like, the banks were robbed of all of the money that they would have received in higher interest rates and higher payments because of the absurd amount of risk that they would have had to take in to loan this money to Trump if he had evaluated his assets at their actual value and not this overly inflated amount. And also, you know, this wasn't covered over the course of the trial, but like, on his tax forms, he was drastically underinflating the value of his shit. Some wild, wild numbers here, by the way. So not only did he rob these financial institutions of potential profit, he probably robbed the fucking government. And of course, the best thing about this $500 million judgment, other than seeing Trump cry conservative tears, is that this was just a civil trial, and all of this shit is still, there's still the possibility that Trump gets criminally indicted for his fraudulent activities in New York. So, something to look forward to. Like, I don't know what Bragg is up there doing, as far as the Trump Organization financial fraud criminal case is going, you may remember that it appeared as though he might be interested in filing criminal charges over this matter, but decided not to follow through with that. So Letitia James was like, all right, cool, we got this, we'll do the civil thing. Bragg then, however, circled back around to what seems to be the oldest fucking criminal case in the history of Trump politics, the Stormy Daniels hush money payments case, where he used his private organization to launder payments to Stormy Daniels through Michael Cohen to avoid having to disclose those payments on his financial disclosure statements, right? So this was the case where Trump had an affair with Stormy Daniels. She wanted to go public. Trump was like, nah, we can't let that happen. This might cause us to lose the 2016 election. Like, if one more thing goes wrong, I'm going to take this L. So he's like, we got to find a way to get her the money, but we can't let it be public. So what he had the bright idea to do is take money and put it, well, launder it through the Trump Organization and use that as a method to escape the financial disclosures regarding his campaign. And of course, those payments, it wasn't just a one-time thing. It was like payment after payment, an ongoing arrangement that continued even while Trump was in the White House. Trump and Michael Cohen signing off on these fraudulent checks to get this woman her money so she would keep quiet. And of course, you know, this is one of those instances in where Trump is charged with crimes that somebody else has already went to jail for. it's so wild. Everyone forgets this, but Michael Cohen already did time for this. And, you know, in case there are people out there who are like super skeptical and saying this is a fucking witch hunt, as, you know, the Trump supporters want to do. Like, if it's such a witch hunt, why did Trump's DOJ send Michael Cohen to jail? Clearly, some kind of crime was committed. You know, unless you'd like to argue that Trump weaponized his Justice Department against his own people to try and keep them quiet. I mean, we can have that conversation because there's plenty of evidence to support that. Unfortunately, I suppose because this is a pocket pardon edition of the podcast, we ain't got time to go through the entire history of Trump's weaponization of his own DOJ. But you could look that up if you want to. The Google button exists. All you got to do is hit it and ask the questions. The hush money payments case, that trial currently is scheduled to take place in March. Jury selection to begin on March 25th, according to this judge. And what that means is, while we're waiting for some potential ruling from the Supreme Court on Trump's claims of presidential immunity, the case in the January 6th D.C. case that was supposedly scheduled to begin in March has been temporarily delayed and could be delayed further. So it seems as though we're going to get this New York trial first. Seems as though it's the first one that's going to come to fruition, even though at the time when Alvin Bragg brought these charges, there were a number of people saying, hey, man, this doesn't seem that serious. Like, why are we bringing these charges? They so old. Like, shouldn't we focus on the more important things? I don't know, man. Crimes are crimes. We need to focus on getting rid of these criminals. We need to focus on stopping the criming. And if this is the first case where Trump faces some criminal liability for his illegal activities, so be it. So be it. You know, like I said, good thing Alvin Bragg brought this case in the first place. Like, it cracked the seal on the Trump indictments. Once it was clear that, like, the world wouldn't end, the sky wouldn't fall, once a former president was indicted for crimes he committed, like, everyone followed suit. Like, Jack Smith followed suit shortly thereafter, and then shortly thereafter again, because Trump committed so many crimes, the special counsel got to keep indicting motherfuckers. And then again, Jack Smith was followed by Fannie Willis down there in Georgia. Yeah, I know there was a lot of crazy stuff that also took place in Georgia over the weekend. The end of the week, rather. we'll have to talk about that on the next episode. I'm sorry. It's too much. It's so wild. Yeah. But everybody was giving Bragg a hard time about bringing these charges. And what do you know? Here we are with Bragg the first to go to trial. Now, I think of all of the cases that Trump is dealing with in terms of criminal charges, this one is probably the weakest in terms of the sort of punishment Trump would be facing. But it might be in terms of like proving the case beyond a reasonable doubt. Like only the case in Florida with the classified documents seems like more of a slam dunk thing. I mean, this thing is mostly fucking paperwork at this point. And maybe you have to prove some intent on Trump's part that it was connected to the campaign, which I feel like you can easily do because a number of people, I believe, including Trump himself, have admitted that he couldn't let this be public or would have caused him the 2016 election. So, I mean, if like intent is the is what this hinges on, it's as good as over. Now, of course, there's no mandatory minimum prison sentence to be served upon conviction in with these crimes in New York. But so say that Trump potentially goes on trial eventually sometime before the 2024 election in the D.C. case and is convicted of that. Well, if he has the conviction in Alvin Bragg's case, at that point, Trump will be a convicted felon before the D.C. trial takes place, and he will be subject to much harsher punishment, given the fact that he will no longer be a first-time offender. So, you know, good luck, Alvin Bragg. Hope you get this done. Glad you pulled the trigger on this shit. I actually wish you had taken more of a I wish you had more of a sturdy composure when it came to bringing the financial fraud crimes, because as we've seen from what Letitia James and Judge Ngoren just did to Trump, that would have been a wrap too. Like you really could have got his ass, but hey man, we'll take what we can get. I hope you circle back around and make sure he pays the consequences for his company committing decades of fraud. Like there's absolutely no reason not to cross all your I's and dot all your T's. Like you don't have to be like, well, we got him for this one thing, we can let him skate for all of his crimes. Like, you guys don't treat any kind of criminal like that in the justice system. If a dude is out here committing a bunch of crimes, you typically try and get him for every crime he committed. Again, you know, I guess there's some exceptions where like there's a cooperating witness in exchange for their testimony. You know, they get a lighter sentence. Like, that ain't the case with Trump. Like, even Judge Ngoren himself said, like, the defendants, in this case, Trump and kids and co, showed no remorse for their actions whatsoever, no contrition. And that's why you got to hammer their ass, because they ain't learned a lesson. They ain't learned. Like, if you don't spank these people, they won't act right. And even when you do spank them for the bad behavior, they continue to engage in more bad behavior. It's like there's nothing that you can do that will force them to engage in some non-scrupulous, non-illegal, non-illicit behavior, except lock their asses up. And of course, again, like I said, Bragg likely won't be able to do that, but he will be able to remove that first-time offender status that will allow Jack Smith to put his ass in jail. So happy times in regards to that. Maybe we'll have the opportunity to elaborate upon that further in the next episode. Fingers crossed. But, you know, given the way the news is going, who knows? It's so beyond out of control that, like, I haven't even gotten the opportunity to talk to you guys about the shooting at the Super Bowl parade. And guess what? I still don't have time, because that's not the end of the insanity of the past week. So Friday, we were informed that Alexei Navalny, who was Vladimir Putin's chief political opponent, was reported to have died in his Russian prison. The cause of death, Vladimir Putin. I think that's fairly obvious. It had been reported that he had had trouble breathing. He was walking around and collapsed. I guess some form of first responders came to try and resuscitate him. They were not successful. And if you think that this was just a coincidence or some sort of unfortunate timing, you'd be wrong. So over the course of the past few weeks here, Republicans have been incredibly entrenched here in blocking legislation that would send aid to Ukraine to help them continue to repel the Russian invasion of their country. Clearly, the Republicans have decided that they're all in on helping Vladimir Putin here for whatever the fucking reason is. Like, I'm not sure. Like, there, of course, there's like all of these rumors of compromise, both of the financial and the illicit sexual activity variety, right? So if it's not money going here and there when it's not supposed to, it's the, oh, you went to a brothel or you went to a sex party or, you know, some random hottie at the bar took you home and there's probably some pictures floating around that would be quite embarrassing, right? If you get the idea. So, and I'm not saying that's absolutely, this is reckless speculation, okay? So just take that with a grain of salt. But these are things that do float around the DC rumor mill, in case you were wondering. It's not like I'm not totally pulling this out of my ass or pissing it up a rope, as some other gentlemen might say. We'll get back to that in a second. So it's only like the timing is incredibly unfortunate for Republicans in that regard, because it makes them look like, you know, even more traitorous than they appear to at any other time. Like this is the icing on the cake for sure. But also Tucker Carlson made his way over to Mother Russia, hanging out in Moscow, buying some groceries, appearing to say totally uninformed things like Russian grocery stores have invented a way to keep people from shoplifting or something by showing the grocery carts with like the little coin locks that you have to place a coin into to unlock the cart or something. I don't know. Yeah, he's clearly not been to Aldi's in America in 20 years. Like it's fucking 20-30 year old technology, bro. Like, what is your problem? You know, aside from that, though, he did venture forth over there to the motherland to interview Vladimir Putin, where he told a number of lies, praised Vladimir Putin, kissed his ass, sucked Russia off, and trashed all over the United States, as conservatives are wont to do here lately. He also enabled Putin to launder a number of lies as well. We don't have to get into every single detail. Again, this be a 4-hour podcast just making fun of you know, the youthful idiot from Fox News, as well as discrediting all of the nonsense that came out of Putin's mouth. Just be an endless endeavor in that regard. But upon returning, one of the things Tucker Carlson said when he was being interviewed at the World Government Summit in Dubai. So one of the journalists there pointed out that Carlson didn't use the interview with Putin to address the Putin regime's imprisonment of journalists, the restrictions on free speech there in Russia, or the persecution of political rivals like Alexei Navalny. Tucker Carlson's response was, quote, "I have concluded the following, that every leader kills people, including my leader. Some kill more than others. Leadership requires killing people. Sorry." Well, it's funny that the second that Vladimir Putin's handpicked media stooge in the United States travels over there and then leaves and says those comments, that Vladimir Putin takes it as like a fucking green light that, hey, we just go ahead and knock off Navalny because Tucker Carlson says so. Yeah, this is what the conservatives are defending over there when they're telling you like Russia is the greatest place on planet Earth, right? And I'm not saying that I'm necessarily a fan of Navalny's politics, because there are definitely a ton of fucking things that I disagree with that dude about, rather disagreed with, past tense, rest in peace, sir. But where I do find common ground with the guy is he cared about the people of his country, and he was not out here trying to enforce a dictatorship on the rest of his cohorts. Now, clearly, he was willing to pay the price for his beliefs, hoping that, to some degree, that it would spark outrage across the world so that all of Putin's enemies and all of the allies of democracy in general, just the idea of democracy and freedom, would unite to make sure Vladimir Putin loses. Hopefully, Republicans will take this as a sign that they need to do the right thing and unite to help us make sure that this dude does not take over Ukraine, because it's not going to stop there. Our NATO allies are right there on Ukraine's doorstep, and if he gets past Ukraine, he's not going to stop there. It's going to be World War III. And wouldn't you much rather have the United States sending our weapons, sending our armaments, sending our financial support over there to Ukraine and let them fight our adversary, as opposed to sending our own kids over there to fight World War III? In the most practical terms, and I'm not suggesting that, like, it's a good thing that Ukrainians are out here dying to prevent war from spreading all over Europe and engulfing the United States in some massive, endless fucking conflict. I'm not saying Ukrainians should be dying for that. But they're willing to do the fighting and the dying for their own country and being a shield for the democracies everywhere. And all they're asking for is some support. And, like, eventually at some point, like, conservatives in the United States are going to have to choose. Like, clearly it's not going well. It seems as though at every opportunity, they're not choosing democracy. Or at least not in the circumstances where they think that they'll get to be the dictators. It's one thing when you think that you'll be the one that gets to control America. It's another thing entirely to have to pledge your allegiance to that dude. Because you see what he did in Navalny. And you see all of these Russians finding their unfortunate end after a 14-floor drop out of a window. Like, that's you guys. But we'll take the opportunity to end this on a more positive note. While Navalny met his unfortunate end yesterday, he was not the only Alex to get murdered in public. So you may have missed it, but yesterday, after the verdict in the Trump org trial came down, I tweeted out, well, twixt out, whatever you'd like to call it, Rudy Giuliani, minus $150 million. Fox News, minus $787 million. Alex Jones, minus $1.1 billion. Elon Musk, minus $25 billion. Donald Trump, minus $445 million and can't do business in New York. Should have gone woke. You know, the implication being there that, like, the right-wing nut jobs are always yelling about, go woke, go broke. Clearly going woke would have worked out a lot better financially for these individuals. Well, it appears as though Alex Jones was not delighted by the humorous situation that I alluded to with all of these right-wing people and conservative outlets losing hundreds of millions of dollars. He was not pleased. So his reply to that post on the Twitter was piss up a rope. And, like, if you want to know what the fuck that means, it's basically like a colorful way of saying fuck off, like go engage in some meaningless activity, basically. Well, my response to that was, my piss up a rope is worth $1 billion more than you. His response, keep dreaming. My response, keep filing for bankruptcy. Yeah, so if you'd like to see a dead body, you can follow me on Twitter and check that out. It's at Black910K. That was for Sandy Hook. Like, I clearly can't go fire shots at this dude in real life, but at least on the internet, he's catching some strays. And I would imagine, given what I know about his political leanings, like, getting owned by a black man during Black History Month has to be the worst thing to ever happen to him. And this dude lost $1 billion. And that concludes this episode of Part of the Insurrection.